22nd December 1944, to the German commander, Nuts, the American commander. We are giving our country and our loved ones at home a worthy Christmas present, and, being privileged to take part in this gallant feat of arms, are truly making for ourselves a Merry Christmas. A.C. McAuliffe, commanding. The men at the front were not as upbeat as General McAuliffe. They had cold white beans for their Christmas Eve dinner, while the division staff had a turkey dinner served on a table with a tablecloth, a small Christmas tree, knives and forks and plates. Out on the MLR, Sergeant Rader was feeling terrible about having to put men out on OP duty on Christmas Eve. His childhood buddy, Corporal Don Hubler, suggested, "Why don't we take that post tonight and just allow the men to sleep? We can lay it off as a kind of Christmas present to the men." Rader agreed. When darkness fell, they moved out to the OP. It was miserably cold, a biting wind taking the wind chill factor well below zero. "As the night wore on, we talked of our homes," Rader remembered, "our families, and how they were spending their Christmas Eve. Don felt sure all of them were in church praying for us." On Christmas Day, the Germans attacked again, but fortunately for E Company on the other side of Bastogne. The following day, Patton's Third Army, spearheaded by Lieutenant Colonel Crichton Abrams of the 37th Tank Battalion, broke through the German lines. The 101st was no longer surrounded. It now had ground communications with the American supply dumps. Soon, trucks were bringing in adequate supplies of food, medicine, and ammunition. The wounded were evacuated to the rear. General Taylor returned. He inspected the front lines, according to Winters, very briskly. His instructions before leaving us were, "Watch those woods in front of you." What the hell did he think we had been doing while he was in Washington? Winters has a thing about Taylor. In one interview, he remarked, "And now you have General Taylor coming back from his Christmas vacation in Washington." I interrupted to say, "That's not quite fair." "Isn't it?" "Well, he was ordered back to testify." Winters cut me off. "I don't want to be fair." The breaking of the siege brought the first newspapers from the outside world. The men of the 101st learned that they had become a legend even as the battle continued. As the division history put it, the legend was aided by the universality of the press and radio, of 10,000 daily maps showing one spot holding out inside the rolling tide of the worst American military debacle of modern times.